Hi, everyone. I'm Krista Maffei, and I have a cold today, so I'm sorry if I'm coughing into the mic a little bit throughout this. I'll be moderating the panel on building your brand ambassador program, and we're going to talk about a lot of different types of programs, from very small ones to very large ones, how they've been successful in higher ed, and how you can get started creating your own if you don't have one already. So could you raise your hand if you do already have a brand ambassador program? Okay, awesome. So I'll start just by introducing myself. Right now at the Tuck School of Business, social media is only one part of my job. But before this, I was a social media manager for alumni relations at the college, and that's where I started our brand ambassador program. Right over to my left is Terry Canelio, who is the Director of Content Strategy at Georgia State University. She leads all of their digital and social media efforts. And before coming to Georgia State, she worked at Cornell and Duke and also taught English in Japan. Next to her is Rob Funger, who directs Hootsuite's corporate accounts for higher ed. So that means that he works with universities like us to drive the most value from their digital media efforts. And when he's not being a social media superstar, he is traveling all over the world trying to hit every country, and so far he's visited 73. And right next to him is Shanda Gunter, who began her career in social media in 2009. She drives the social strategy behind Western Governor University's innovative brand. And I think a lot of us can relate to this. When she's not being social media manager, she is grooming her English bulldog dude for Instagram stardom. So I counted it up. In addition to being world travelers and the owners of adorable pets, between us we have 3 decades of experience in the world of social media, which is not too bad considering that Friendster was only launched 16 years ago. So I'm going to give everyone a chance to talk for a few minutes about their brand ambassador programs.
Awesome. So our slides?
Oh, no, just give an intro about your program specifically.
So at Georgia State University, we started our brand ambassador program about a year and a half ago, and we have about 850 ambassadors in the program right now, and it's been a huge success that I'm really excited to share with you guys.
Awesome. Working at Hootsuite for 5 years, I've worked with many different ambassador programs, things like up at UBC with using Dr. Ono as their president to push out their message to the university, all the way to working with Purdue University and them using famous alumni like Drew Brees to push out their Giving Day, and a lot of different student ambassador programs throughout my time at Hootsuite. So kind of run the gamut of very large ones to very small ones.
Well, our ambassador program just started this year, so we have a small group of about 10 people so far, growing fast. Well, a little fast. Our audience is actually a little bit different. Our average age of student is 37 years old, and we are 100% online. So our online ambassador program is crucial to our growth and our success online, and they have been really fantastic, and I'm excited to see what the future holds with them.
Awesome. And at Dartmouth, our social media ambassadors program is called Big Green Social. Like some people in the previous panel, we run it through Social Toaster. We began it in April, so it's about 6 months old now. We have 104 participants, and we're always growing and always looking for new audiences. Right now, it's made up mainly of alumni, but we also have some students and staff members. So it's been a lot of fun to put together. So I'm going to start by talking about why universities can use a brand ambassador program. And some of you who are already running it are probably familiar with some of these reasons, but just in case you're not, the main reason for Dartmouth starting it, and this may be true of some of our panelists, is that it promotes peer-to-peer communication. We have between 2 and 11% engagement on our social channels, and with 40,000 followers, that's a big group of people, but it's certainly nowhere near our entire alumni body. And we found that our alumni love talking to each other like everybody does. And so this enables us to send out our own content with our own branding and the messaging that we want, but to have it come from a trusted source. It keeps the community in touch with the college. Like I said, it's the alumni community, but also students, also faculty and staff. And for us, and I don't know if you guys can echo this, it fits in with our alumni body's competitive spirit because Social Toaster is gamified, so you earn points for everything that you share, and our alumni love winning things and love being able to say, like, oh, I'm the top person this week, and so it just fits in really nicely with that area. And I think that it's important to find the best fit for you. So as you're looking at different programs, there are sort of three main types, and I think that they're represented well among us. There's the small scale, personally run for a select group. Maybe that's a group of 10 students on campus who are your representatives. Or for us, the program started with us reaching out by hand, you know, using spreadsheets and our own organizational methods, reaching out to our highest profile alumni. Jake Tapper is one of our biggest ambassadors. But we also have Shonda Rhimes and Mindy Kaling, who every now and again will tweet out sort of on our behalf. And so we started with this very small group of very high-profile people. And then once we had built enough momentum with them, we opened it up to the wider community, and we automated our processes with Social Toaster, which I think is kind of the next step. If you're growing too quickly or too big to really handle it on your own, there are lots of different programs and methods that you can use. And then the final one is a sort of an easy, great way to get started, which is an aggregated feed of all social posts from an area or a population. We use Zoom. There are, again, lots of other really great tools. And this is just a website that kind of aggregates everything, and you can select which ones you want. So it's really handy for big events like homecoming, or if you're having a big fundraising event off campus. But it can be useful for any campus just to see what's coming up and what information is getting out there and to kind of pick the best of that. So we found that to be really helpful. And now Rob's going to talk about building content for different programs.
Yeah, building content I see is kind of the biggest way to keep people kind of engaged. You know, Kristen touched on it really well there, and the fact that, you know, gamification is one way to keep people going. There's also the stick route. That's what we do at Hootsuite. My VP checks in on if people are actually sharing things, and you'll get in trouble if you're not. But really, you need to create good content for people to actually, for things to actually do well. Where I've seen the majority of the, or not the majority, where I've seen most ambassador programs fail is when they're not sending out good content that people are actually clicking on. You can get your ambassadors to share content, but if they're just sharing it and no one's actually clicking back to your website and actually, you know, if the goal is to donate or the goal is to recruit students or the goal is just people to spend time on your website, if you're not sending out good content that people are actually going to click on, you know, your ambassador program is not going to do well. So, you know, Terry at Georgia State has done a great, great job of creating great content. My LinkedIn feed is always filled with Georgia State content, and I always click on it, not just because she's a great client of mine, but it's just creating content on really whatever your goals are from, you know, your marketing department, your alumni department, your admissions department. So really it should be very in line with what your goals are from, you know, your department itself. So really kind of keeping that in tune and not really changing it up from your content strategy as is. So at the end of the day, you want people to do what you want to do.
Yeah. Do any of you have pieces of content that have, like, sort of blown up or been especially good?
Yeah, we had a great video that we created right when we first launched the Brand Ambassador Program. We got a great donation from State Farm that provided full scholarships to 40 students. And so we set up kind of an Oprah or Ellen-esque environment where we pulled these students out of class in their high school and surprised them with this kind of assembly that they didn't know that they were going to get the scholarship, and it was a group of students who, without the scholarship, college wouldn't have been possible. So it was a very authentic moment. We got them crying, calling their parents that everything's going to be okay. And I've seen the video a million times, and I still like tear up every time. And that really took off across all of our distribution channels. And then once it did that, media picked it up. So about 2 weeks later, we had the CNN effect because CNN just picked up our content and then reused it.
That's awesome. What about you, Shanda?
What's interesting, you mentioned Ellen. We were actually featured on Ellen. We gave away a scholarship to a teacher, and it for our teachers' college especially, it just blew up all of our social media, which was really fantastic. And then our ambassadors are always a great way to be able to get that content out there even further. Yeah.
We found that celebrity content is always a huge boost for us. And on Big Green Social, the two pieces of content that have been the biggest, one is the celebrity piece. It was when we announced that Mindy Kaling was speaking at commencement. So that's our most shared post yet. But the other post that had done really well is us asking our alumni body to welcome the Dartmouth 21s. And, you know, we saw a number of shares on that, but more than that, we saw people actually just going onto their profile instead of, you know, clicking the automatic one, but going onto theirs and customizing messages, sending gifts, replying to students who were on the fence with like really fun kind of competitive messages with the other schools that they were looking at. And so that's something that's been huge for us every year. And so that's always a lot of fun. Yeah. Any other tips or anything?
Really, same way you're creating content, like you're going up against, you know, the HBOs of the world. You're going up against where's the cast of Saved by the Bell now. you know, you're up against, you're not just up against other universities. You're up against these kind of mega giants that are creating content every day. So you want to have your stuff heard and seen. So obviously getting celebrities to send out messages are really great. Terry at Georgia State did an awesome video. They recently bought the old Atlanta Braves stadium and transferred it into their football stadium. So they did a picture. I flew over a drone every day and took a picture of the transformation of the stadium, and that went really, really well and was an awesome campaign for them. So.
It was called Fly Day Friday, and so every Friday while the stadium was being converted from a baseball field to a football field, we flew the drone up to the same spot, took a picture, and on Fridays, if we didn't post that on social by like noon, people were like, where's my Fly Day Friday picture? And then at the end of it, we put it all together in a video, and it's a cool transformation.
That's awesome. Terry, do you want to talk a little bit about getting leadership on board?
So our brand ambassador program was a component of the campaign that we have running right now called The State Way. And what does it mean to be part of The State Way? So at Georgia State, we are changing the face of higher education, the student experience, and the city of Atlanta in ways that a lot of universities ever... So when we started this campaign, we wanted it to be based on what other people were saying about us and then find anecdotal stories that supported this. So a couple of the things that we are known for is we are the second most innovative university in the country, recently named that. We are the largest in Georgia. We have over 50,000 students between 7 campuses, and we offer everything from associate's degrees to bachelor's, master's, and PhDs. And all of these slides I missed. The things that are not coming up on these slides in the transitions, we are also recently named second for undergraduate teaching, our commitment to undergraduate teaching. And what we are known for is our student success initiative. So we've taken 10 years of data and created trigger points that can alert advisors when a student is starting to fail. And by implementing these systems, along with things like our Panther Retention Grant and supplemental instruction, we've been able to increase graduation rates by 22 percentage points over a decade, and which is really tremendous for the student body that we serve. We serve mostly first-generation students, low-income students. About 78% of our students are Pell eligible, meaning they have a household income of under $23,000 a year. So these students need a lot of help in different ways than some of our counterparts. But this story wasn't always communicated locally. Nationally, we're known for this within the higher ed space, especially within that higher ed student success space. We're leaders. But locally, people were worried about parking and Wi-Fi, which I'm sure a lot of you guys hear those complaints too. or how do I pay my bill? How do I drop a class? So that really dominated some of our social conversation. So we wanted to turn that conversation. So we started to involve our leadership in this, whereas I know a lot of brand ambassador programs go alumni or student, but we focused heavily on leadership. And part of the reason we did this was, as we all know, organic reach is decreasing exponentially over the years. It's a pay-to-play model, and our stories weren't performing as well organically. And so we felt that social media is not 100% of just one person's job. It needs to be 1% of everyone's job, and everyone has a responsibility to tell the Georgia State story. So part of the reason that we did this and we leaned on our community was that it builds the faculty and staff's reputation as well as the university's, because people trust their friends and family far more than they trust brands. So Rob mentioned that as a university, you're competing with HBO or sports teams or mega companies. You're also competing with your users' friends and high school friends and someone they met 10 years ago at a party in that news feed for attention. So being able to have our content out there from people in a trusted way was important. But we also wanted to make it easy and give people really quality content that would matter to their audience so that it would get attention. So before we launched our program, we ran some pilots. This is Dr. Tim Rennick, who is our Senior Vice Provost over Student Success. Everything that Georgia State is all because of his programs. He is a genius. If you ever have a chance to hear him speak, like he's amazing. But after he spoke at a conference, we had him post this out on LinkedIn with a trackable link and going back to our student success page that we built for him. And this one post increased traffic to that page by over 500%. It doubled the average time on page, and nearly 70% of those visitors were new to the Georgia State property. So that was really a good indicator to us that this was the way to go and to get our leadership out there talking about us. So we started using Amplify to run our brand ambassador program. And this is easy for our Georgia State influencers to get in, share content. It gives them direct access to content that matters to us. So we can segment down that content, write the copy for the particular audience that it's going to so that the influencers don't have to spend much time on it. They can just click share. And it's very easy to connect their social accounts and share it. So some of the types of content that we do put in there, we are pumping out a lot of content daily in our news hub, and that's everything from featured stories to press releases to videos. We will also use media hits in there for people and user-generated content. We target based on topics and roles. So we spent a lot of time about 2 years ago redefining our content and how we structured our content. So we already had those topics pretty well solidified, and then role, faculty or staff. And most importantly, who are our influencers? We really focused on senior leadership, faculty and staff. We have some alumni in there, our alumni board, so we've about a dozen people in there. And we have high school guidance counselors. So we have a high school guidance counselor advisory board. And so we've added them in there so they can stay up to date on Georgia State news and events. And we have a few students in there, but we really don't heavily lean on students in this program. And just for in the last year and a half, here's just a few of the successes that we've seen. So in almost 600 posts, that's given us about 6,000 shares, reaching about 4.2 million people, but importantly for us, it became one of the top five drivers of traffic to our news hub. So we know that people are clicking on this and achieving our goals in that way. And we've increased time on page by about 16 seconds is the average increase coming from a link from Amplify. So we feel like people are spending a little bit more time on there. And just some examples, our president really, really likes Amplify, and he loves using it and loves sharing out on LinkedIn. And every time he does, and every time that he gets a post that takes off, he'll screenshot the analytics and send it to us and be like, look how great my post did. And for years before we started this program, I tried to talk to him about social or show him numbers, but there was no context to those numbers for him because he wasn't very active and engaged. Now, whenever he gets our reports, he looks at them and is like, well, when I shared this particular post on my LinkedIn, it performed this way. Why didn't it perform as well in Georgia State? And this is just a couple other examples from Tim Rennick, who is out speaking all of the time, you know, two or three times a week across the country, and he was always so reluctant to get on Twitter. And once we introduced this to him and gave him access to it, now he's like tweeting all of the time and being like, I saw this on Twitter before you did. And just to end with a quote from our president that, you know, this program has really changed the way that he looks at social, and it makes it easy for him to share our content with LinkedIn, so he's keeping his followers up to date as an influencer.
And he also calls Terry a rock star.
Well, I mean, I am.
Duh.
All right, so making the best of a small ambassador team. This, as I said before, we just started earlier this year. We have about 10 ambassadors. They are all current students. And this is just kind of a sample of three of them. We call them Team WGU. And we created these images, and we put them out on our Instagram story, which they, of course, reshared and to all of their audience, which was fantastic. So just a few tips for you. Whenever you determine who is going to be part of your ambassador program, find out what their strengths are. You know, are they, which platform works better for them? Maybe they're stronger in Twitter. Maybe they're stronger in Instagram. Figure out where their strengths are. Maybe they are great, they do vlogs and they're always posting on YouTube. Figure out what that is and then have that work for you. And also, are they undergrad? Are they grad? For us, if they're, grad students, they're getting their master's degrees, they are possibly going to be on a different level. They might be older, so speaking to an older audience. So figure out, where they're at in their student life experience. And then, which audience are they going to relate to? Again, that kind of goes along the same thing with their age. And again, with us, we tend to skew on the older side. And I say 37 is about our average age. But also, which college? We have four colleges. If they're in the teacher's college, then obviously that's going to be more of their audience that they're going to relate to better than our IT college. And then once you figure out their strengths and implement that into your strategy, so we can do things like Instagram takeovers, tweet chats, Facebook lives, or just, user-generated content. This is an example of a Facebook Live that we did. This student, he is actually a grad and a current student. He got his bachelor's degree with us, and he is a current student for his MBA. And he runs, he's an admin of one of the largest Facebook groups for WGU that he created on his own. There's about 3,000 people in his Facebook group. And so what we did with him was we did kind of a reverse interview. And it was a remote interview because he lives in Miami. And he took questions from his group. So he's kind of a student representative of that particular group, took questions, and then interviewed our VP of student experience. And then, of course, he shared that in his group and then to his audience as well. Rob Fuller, he is a current student, and he's in our IT college, and he is constantly tweeting about us. He has a verified status and a verified account, and he has over 50,000 followers on Twitter. So that's clearly his strong suit, and so we are working with him. We're going to be doing some Ask a Grad tweet chats with him. And then the other thing is just to keep it simple. You know, we don't want this to become a job for them. We don't want this to get in the way of their life, school, everything else that they've got going on. So user-generated content, part of the reason they were selected was because they were already active on social. So we don't want to ask them to do anything above and beyond what they're already doing. We just want to know about it and have them share that and tag us and use our hashtags and everything else. So user-generated content. And then any high-priority content that we want them to share, we have a Google document that we use that we put that on there with basically they don't have to do anything at all. We put in the text, we put in the image, we put in the link. We also use tracking links as well so that we know any website traffic that came from our ambassadors, we know if it's working or not, something else that we can report on. And then just providing FAQ content, because our students are always engaged, and they see things, and they see questions, and they are very quick to answer student or prospective student questions. So we give them, again, on that spreadsheet, just FAQ content, again, with links, tracking links, that they can easily just refer to and post. Plus, then they have the correct answer in case, you know, maybe they don't have the full answer. Just a couple of examples of some user-generated content that we've taken from them, that they've posted, and then we, of course, repost it. And then the third thing is to just communicate with them, which is actually kind of difficult sometimes. Trying to get everybody, you know, on the same schedule is really difficult. With us, we have everybody across the country, so we have different time zones that we're trying to work with. And our students generally have, you know, full-time jobs and mortgages and kids and everything else going on in life. So we have phone calls once a month on a weekend at like 11 a.m. So that's when the easiest time for us to be able to reach them. And then, of course, we also follow up with emails. And then we have a Facebook group page that is just for our ambassador group that we can communicate with.
Awesome. Yeah. So you mentioned that your influencers are often responding directly to prospective students and other people. Do you find that, Terry, like what sort of interaction, because yours is such a high-level leaders, how do they interact once something is posted?
I think once things are posted, they're posting it from their accounts. We're seeing a lot on LinkedIn where people will start commenting and they get surprised. They're like, oh, I didn't know this many people were paying attention to me. So they do like that little bit of attention that they're getting from that. And I would say, especially with Dr. Rennick, once he got on Twitter and then once he understood the back and forth, he's going back and forth all of the time. We've seen less with the current student and prospective student engagement. We've kept a lot of our, we've pushed a lot of them to be using LinkedIn, which is not typically the place that students are going to engage from. Right. So it's much more their peer-to-peer, and that's a big goal for us.
Awesome. And speaking of goals, how do you guys set reasonable expectations and reasonable stretch goals for yourselves and anybody that you're reporting to?
Well, I mean, again, ours is pretty new, so we're kind of trying to just figure it out at this point and to kind of see where it goes. But, I mean, we do have goals of, especially with the user-generated content, that's probably our top priority content that we would like for them to post, and then we, of course, repost that. You know, and again, with the high-priority stuff. So, you know, I would be thrilled if they took one high-priority post and put that out there along with all of their user-generated content.
And in the ambassador programs that I've worked with, I think when you first launch, I think your first goal is for your ambassadors actually to post and actually to get stuff out, and that's kind of step one. And then step two is kind of that, you know, getting people to actually click through and do what you want to do with your ambassador program. But always the first goal is always to get actually your ambassadors to post for you and actually to do what you want to do. And then you can follow up with, you know, why are you using an ambassador program?
Yeah, and while we've taken a slightly different approach. Like, while posting is the ultimate goal, and I love it when our ambassadors do, and I'm happy that they do, we've included a lot of people in the program who don't, you know, might not even necessarily have a social media account or don't know how to use it or don't want to use it, just don't want to participate, and we're totally fine with that. We want them to have the app and be reading the content, because a big part of our goals is educating people on what's going on and, you know, with these marketing messages around our campaign.
And can you guys speak a little bit to the tools that you're using, either to keep yourself organized or to actually push out that content? Because I think there's a big diversity of different things that we're using.
Yeah, we use Hootsuite Amplify, so it integrates right in Hootsuite, which is what we're using for all of our social content. We have everyone in the university who manages an account on behalf of Georgia State in our enterprise, so we can have that workflow and that content library in there. So it just fits neatly into what we're already doing.
I know, I was just going to say, obviously Hootsuite's pretty obvious for me as well. But, you know, I've seen, you know, ambassador programs use email, you know, use Facebook groups, just any tools of communication to kind of get that content in their ambassador's program, or sorry, in that ambassador's hands. But, yeah, definitely Hootsuite.
Yeah, and that's basically what we're doing right now. Since we're just beginning, we're using, you know, the Facebook group to communicate, email, and then also the Google Doc.
Awesome. And so you have leadership on board actually in your program. I know for us, getting our leadership, not necessarily even posting or participating, but just getting them to approve the budget and the idea for it was a little bit of a struggle. For us, it was mostly about using numbers, telling people about the decline in organic reach. Was there anything that you guys did, a technique that kind of helped get people to say, yep, this is something we're going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, right, when we first were named fourth most innovative, our president wanted to create a campaign around that. So we got a budget for the campaign that included a lot of traditional advertising as well, and we took a piece of that budget to invest in the brand ambassador program, so it wasn't a direct ask for a brand ambassador program. And for this component, we went in and presented to admin council, so president, provost, deans, and VPs, to update on what we're doing with the campaign and introducing this aspect of the campaign to them. And immediately, you know, like right after we presented, the president was like downloading it on his phone. And so once you have that leadership buy-in, then it's much easier to get the next tier of people in when it's like, well, the president's doing it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and all the universities that I've worked with, where I've seen kind of universities able to get budget, not just for ambassador programs, for, you know, any social media budget, a strong, strong correlation with, you know, university presidents, university leadership using social on their own. So, you know, if your university presidents or leadership aren't on social, that's, you know, something you really need to kind of nudge them to do if, you know, you want to get money to do what you want to do. So that's kind of, you know, all the years I've seen, if a university president or leadership is utilizing social, they see the value in social, that's where, you know, budget opens up, you know, that I've seen.
Yeah, I think even aside from just budget, once we got our leadership on here, there's a bigger trust with me, more interaction with me, so it's raised my profile with them, as well as when I do go to them and say, this is happening on social, we need to take action, I'm taken much more seriously than I was 3, 4, 5 years ago, because they're involved. They understand the environment a little bit better.
For us, it was just a real natural fit since we are an online university. That is, social media is just, that's where our students congregate together and communicate with each other. So it was definitely a natural fit. And we have so many success stories with our grads. We have about 121,000 grads currently to date, and so many lives that have been changed. And so we have a whole campaign going that's called Share WGU, hashtag Share WGU. And so And the idea is obviously to share these students' stories. And so we have just, like I said, this ongoing campaign of these wonderful success stories that some of them will just bring tears to your eyes. It's insane. And so the idea university-wide was to share this story across the board. And so, again, it just was a natural fit for us to have the online ambassador. So it was very easy to get the buy-in, yeah.
Awesome. So I have a few more questions, but I'd like to open it up to the audience if anybody has any other questions. It'd be better to hear from you guys. Anyone? Awesome. So
Kristen, awesome. We have one question over here.
We're passing the mic over. Sorry.
I'll start back here.
First you, then over you. Sorry.
I just have a quick question, and maybe you covered it already and I just missed it. But how did you approach the students that you asked to be brand ambassadors? Like, how did you pose that opportunity to them, I guess?
Initially, when I first started, I went into a couple of the larger Facebook groups that were out there and just kind of tested the waters to see who would be interested, and it blew up. So I immediately was like, okay. I put together a Google form, survey form for them to fill out, and then we posted it on all of our social accounts saying, if you're interested, fill this out. And it asked a lot of different questions, figuring out like which college they're in, where are they at, are they a student, are they alumni, are they an employee? So basically figure out who they are and then what social accounts are they active on, and links to their social accounts. We wanted obviously to find people who had a good follower account, but also who were active and preferably that were already posting about us. So we did quite a bit of Facebook stalking and Instagram stalking and everything else. So
we had a kind of similar rollout where we started slowly with the people that we knew had big follower accounts that were, replying to us pretty frequently, and then opened it up, posted it on all of our social channels, and then after that sent out an email blast to a much bigger audience. And so it helped us so that the program was already running by the time the big group came, which was great.
So Chris Carroll, Indiana University. Two-part question. So a few years ago, we had a unit on our Bloomington campus utilize Social Toaster, trying to start a brand ambassador program. And long story short, it kind of just sputtered and crapped out after a year or so. I guess my questions to you are, what are your keys to maintaining such a program, and how much time commitment is there on your end to kind of get it set up and monitor it and keep it going?
I think that in terms of keeping the ambassadors motivated, I think the gamification stuff is nice.
Don't forget the stick.
Right, that's what I was getting at. Public praising and private shaming goes a long way. we do take that approach. We are also now kind of the next phase of this is we are killing college level magazines and giving them a whole new way to communicate with peers, alumni, and donors. It's a more integrated approach. We're calling it like the highlights. And part of that strategy is looking at each of their deans, associate deans, and key faculty members and giving them training on this is what your LinkedIn bio needs to be, here's a template, this is your photo, and here is the 10 schools that you need to make sure that you are connected with their president on and building up their LinkedIn presence for them. And so I think we are trying to focus on doing the heavy work there and helping them get started so that, and then making it as easy as possible for them to continue to share stuff as they go on. But there is that hand-holding and learning curve at first. And then when people aren't doing it, we are, praising the ones that aren't and then pulling the ones aside that aren't doing it and being like, come on, this is the new way.
And I think it also goes back to whenever you find them. I think if you find the right people, again, who are already doing what you're wanting them to do anyway, you're just making it official now. I think that's probably the best way to go about it.
And then just going back to content, just, you know, make sure you're creating content that these ambassadors actually want to share and they find interesting themselves, because if you're pushing them content that they're not interested in themselves, they're really not going to push it out to, you know, their friends and followers. So it really needs to be something that, you know, they're interested in, that they're actually going to want to share that out to, you know, their peers.
I know we had a question up front.
Venus Austin from Emory University in Georgia. Hi. The question I had was the cost associated with a brand ambassador or a social media ambassador program. I know that you mentioned the cost, and I think you didn't really mention a budget, but how much budget would go into an ambassador program?
For us right now, I mean, there's not really anything that we've had to spend money on other than time, of course, but and swag. We've given them some swag, so that's where we're at. But again, we're small and just got started. So.
Rob, can you give a ballpark?
Like to talk about
money. yeah, it really depends on, you know, the scale of, you know, what you're looking to do and what I've worked with. Like, I've worked with ambassador program roles that, you know, aren't using software and really is just, you know, time and, you know, kind of volunteer hours or using student workers. And then there's software as well. We can talk afterwards as far as, you know, numbers, what that rollout would look like. But, yeah, it doesn't have to cost more than time if that's, you know, what you're able to put in.
Yeah, I think what everybody here has said is important. It can be as big or as small as you want. I think it's important to talk about money, so I'll say that it cost about $1,000 a month to run Social Toaster. There was a setup fee, and I can't remember what it is right now, but it was also a couple $1,000s. And there was a year commitment to it. And we also change our prizes based on how many people we think we're going to get that month. So a normal month, we'll probably spend $50 on a couple of cheaper giveaways. And then for homecoming and reunion month, we'll bump up the prizes and give away like $100 or $200 gift. I think we have time for maybe one more question, and then we should wrap up.
One more, yeah.
All right, maybe we should.
Oh, wait, oh. He didn't get to answer.
Yeah, sorry, I had a second question. So I sat in the legal counsel session over there earlier. So what are you doing to kind of protect your universities and your brands? Even if you're giving away swag, how do you make it not seem like a quid pro quo? You know, you're asking them to do this, and they're getting something in return. How do you kind of skirt around? Not skirt around, but how do you deal with those FTC regulations?
So for us, that was one of the reasons we went with Social Toaster, is that they handled the raffle and all of the legal stuff behind it. And we knew that that was something that would be a liability for us if we were doing it on our own. So we outsourced it.
We kind of stayed away from the contest raffle-y aspects of it in general, and that's kind of our stance on social, period. So.
We haven't done any of the contests, but you know, when they were officially made Team WGU, it was clearly stated in an email that this is volunteer and you can quit whenever you want and you can be removed whenever we decide, things like that. So if that holds up any weight, I don't know exactly, but yeah. But we just, the idea was to make it very clear that this is not a job, this is not paid, you're volunteering your time, we love you, we appreciate you, thank you, here's some swag.